This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for January the 20th, episode 1342. This episode is brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
It's Wednesday. Today is Wednesday.
He's a very mixed up horse.
Authorization acknowledged.
You know what they say about Wednesday.
Yabba-dabba-doo!
Have a good Wednesday. Thanks.
Well, good morning, everybody. That makes me crack up every time. And is Jamie here?
I think so.
Yes, there she is. She was having a little Skype issue before we started, so we haven't had a pre-show meeting or anything. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, good morning. I just, it's like Skype knows. First of all, the baby knows when daddy's not here.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's been screaming since about 4. And then, it's only 7 now, so it's only about 3 hours of issues. And then
Benadryl?
Skype, yeah, and then
did
Skype
you use
goes,
Benadryl?
Yeah, it doesn't work on him. And then Skype is like, oh, 7 o'clock, time to update. So, sorry.
That's right. You're here now. And, you know, before we get started, you know, we've had a rash of celebrity deaths this year, but there's something I have to do this morning. And I know you're not, it's not going to mean anything to you, but people my age, it'll mean a lot too. So this is for you guys.
Welcome to the Hotel California.
Another celebrity death. Get Glenn Frey. And of course, Jennifer and I grew up with the Eagles. I actually saw them in concert in 1979 at Hershey, Pennsylvania, in the old stadium at Hershey, Pennsylvania. He was the drummer and the singer, and he wrote a lot of the songs. He wrote Hotel California and a lot of the other songs for them. They sold more than 150 million albums worldwide. Hotel California was one of their biggest hits. And a lot of people hate Hotel California because it's been played on every radio station over time endlessly. Anytime you need the DJs need a bathroom break, they play Hotel California because it's like 25 minutes long. So I do have memories of hearing them sing all of their songs in concert in 1979. I was a senior in high school then, so.
Listen, Glenn, you act like I'm not going to appreciate that I was one of the cool kids who listened to the Eagles and have always listened to the Eagles, and I always had a crush on Don Henley, so.
I thought that would be just a generation past, you know.
Mirrors on the ceiling depict champagne on ice.
Why do I do this to myself?
We are all just prisoners here of our own.
Why do I do this to myself? Why do I ever bring up
music? They gather for the,
I thought it was safe with the Eagles that she wouldn't know any words to any song. She wouldn't even know who they were.
But
I was so wrong. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's Back on Track Crappy List Wednesday edition, complete with lyrics by Jamie. Scattered amongst our horsey headlines and crappy top tens, we're going to hear from listener Robin about making her way to the horse show arena for the first time as an adult. And in the third half of the show, Horse and Country TV's Victoria Spicer brings us all of the horsey news from across the pond. And welcome to the show, guest in the studio, Kayla. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And she gets my daily whinny. That's right. I'm not alone today. I'm so used to being alone in the studio, but today we have a special guest, one of our listeners, a top level superstar eventer. Kayla Muller is here with us today. Hi, Kayla.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. It's so good to have you sitting right across.
I know. It's unreal.
She's in the studio.
Kayla, how do you pronounce your last name?
Muller.
It is Muller. I thought it was Mueller.
I asked her before the show started. I was smart. I actually asked. I said Mueller too. So.
Well, Kayla, thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it. You're one of my favorite people to follow on Facebook because you just post these amazingly beautiful jumping videos. And I have already messaged Kayla in the past because I am like, what is that footing in your arena? It's to die for.
It's amazing. I'm not going to lie. It's amazing.
She has a pretty neat farm. If you remember right, longtime listeners will remember, was it last year?
Beginning of last year,
we had Kayla on. She was talking about her new farm and her fancy new place in Maryland. And then also you went horse shopping and you picked up a horse named Brew. And we're going to I want to find out how Brew's doing.
Okay.
Do you have a daily Winnie, Jamie, or were you too?
Yeah, I do have one. Come on.
Okay. All right.
I mean, we'll get back to Kayla in a second, but I need to stop the show and let everybody know that American Pharoah, woohoo, he was just voted the world's top horse. It's an award by the International Federation of Horse Racing Authorities. It was collected at a ceremony in the British capital on Tuesday by Team Pharoah, led by Ahmed Zayed. So basically, it's international recognition that, you know, Americans never win this award. It's the Longines Horse of the Year. It always goes to a British racehorse, and rightfully so, because there's just not been one like American Pharoah. And oh gosh, since, I don't know, 1973, Secretariat maybe. So anyway, he went to the Zayats actually went to Europe to accept the award. So they're just such great people. The quotes from them and from, you know, Victor Espinosa are just so amazing. Like, here's Zaya. He goes, to have this kind of acceptance internationally and get the recognition that you are number one in the world is a true fairy tale. And last year was one of those years, this is Victor Espinosa, that every jockey in the world dreams to be in my spot. And to ride American Pharoah was different to every other horse I rode. To be on his back was like being on a cloud. I didn't feel like I was riding. I felt like I was flying in the air. He just continues to like just put into just a different kind of word all the time how riding that horse was and how amazing it was. And the owners of American Pharoah are just so gracious and so sweet. And it just, they really love the horse and you can just tell. So very, very cool. Congratulations to American Pharoah.
You know, when you go to the Kentucky Horse Park and do the museum and the Calumet Trophy Room, they're going to need a room like that pretty soon for all of the trophies for American Pharoah.
Well, yeah, they're going to need its own. It's going to need its own room. I mean, I don't even understand. It's hard to wrap your brain around how celebrated this horse is. So just really, really cool for him and good for America. Yay, we got one.
Speaking of getting one, let's get back to Kayla here sitting across from me. So now you're down. Is this your first time coming down to Ocala?
Yes. Yep. My first time. Usually I go to Aiken. It's been I've been in Aiken for 7 years off and on during the wintertime. And then this is my first Ocala trip.
Why did you choose to come to Ocala this year?
I'm training with Scott Keach. So,
and he's a jumper, right?
He's a show jump rider. Yep. He's an event rider turned show jump rider.
And people might know him because he's the other half of Max Cochran.
Yes.
Yeah.
Max is the better half.
Sorry about that. Got that wrong. She's never going to forgive me for that now.
Oh, boy.
So, well, that's great. He's an excellent rider, I know.
Yeah.
Is he a good coach?
He's a fantastic coach. You know, he kind of demands perfection, but in a way that like you work it out psychologically and you just own it and you just do it. So it's awesome.
Why did you choose a jumper coach to be with this winter as opposed to an eventing instructor?
Well, show jumping's always been my biggest weakness. So, and really, I feel like for event riders, they have to be, you know, we have to be good at dressage. We have to be good at cross country and we have to be good at show jumping. So why not go specifically like for dressage, go to a dressage rider. For show jumping, go to a show jump rider. And then, I mean, for cross country, it kind of all comes together and there's so many event coaches, but you kind of need to hone in on those skills sometimes. So I needed to perfect my show jumping, so why not? And I think Scott's really relatable because he has evented, so he understands that world. But he also, he's a top-level show jumper, so he's honed in on those skills. So
that's really cool, actually. What a great idea. I mean, like you said, he knows the world of eventing. He knows everything about it. His wife has been, you know, bless her heart, behind the scenes.
Not wife yet. We don't want Max totally mad at us this morning. So.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, Max.
That's why
just
we use
better half.
Better half.
Okay. His better half has been behind the scenes for forever. So at the top level, at the very top level. So what a great experience for you. Does he live in Ocala or does he also winter in Ocala?
No, he has a farm, Southern Cross Equestrian. It's off of Northwest Highway 225. And then I think he...
Lexington, right? The other farm.
Yes, and then he goes to Lexington. He stables with somebody in Lexington, Kentucky, for the summer. So he kind of does it backwards. He has a farm down here, and then he... summers.
Well, how would you compare Aiken to Ocala? It says so. Yeah, I mean, you've only been here for a couple weeks, and I got to tell you, this is funny because she gets here this morning and she's all bundled up in her winter clothing because it was literally about 25 degrees this morning. We had frost, so which we don't have very often.
I was promised warm weather coming here.
It's been cold the last
False
week.
False advertising. No, I do. I look at the Weather Channel every day, and I look at Aiken, and I'm like, you know what? It's still warmer, so it's okay.
To get really warm, you have to go like below Orlando, at down where Wendy lives, or down to Wellington.
Shut up. Ocala isn't warm. Who are you guys kidding? There are so many people listening right now that are cussing.
Yeah,
you
they're expecting, what, 24 inches of snow this weekend. Yeah, where you live, are exactly. expecting a big snowstorm up in Maryland.
Yep, my barn manager is probably listening up there like, oh, okay.
Yeah, great.
I have three horses here that are wearing like 5 blankets. Can't leave the barn. And
and we're only getting up to 65 today. Yeah, so
it's a rough life.
Now, there is an article that just came out on Eventing Nation that is the 4 things to do in Ocala while you're there. Have you read this yet?
I did. Somebody tagged me in it on Facebook.
I haven't seen that. What are they saying we should do?
Okay. Yep. So the first thing you have to do is trail ride, and Jen can probably tell us more about this because I believe she's done it. Just trail ride over the interstate, the Cross Florida Greenway.
Yeah,
that goes over I-75.
That's the one. Yep, that's part of the greenway that actually goes from the Gulf of Mexico to the Atlantic Ocean. You can ride from the Gulf of Mexico to Atlantic Ocean.
Wow.
And some of the areas, it's like riding in a prehistoric forest. It is just totally undeveloped. There's a trail. And the nice part about those trails all horse riders will appreciate is that the hiking trail and the biking trail and the horse trail are all separate. So you're never on the same trail. And Jennifer, you never got to all the way down to the overpass, did you?
I haven't gotten to the bridge yet.
They call it the land
bridge. Most of the time when I go riding, we go out with a whole bunch of us who have no idea where the trails are. So we get lost and we go around in circles and end up on the bicycle trails. But eventually we'll get to the bridge.
Well, Glenn, that pretty much means Kayla and Jen need to go.
Yeah.
I won't take the horse that doesn't like vehicles because that might get exciting.
Yeah. Oh, it goes over the freeway.
You've seen the land bridge.
No, I haven't.
You haven't? No. You haven't seen it yet?
No.
It's totally trees and stuff so that when you're going over the highway, you actually
don't really see
the highway, right?
You don't even know. Okay, yeah. I'm golden then.
Number two is to buy a racehorse. And they did say that, yes, maybe not, but maybe you could buy an X-racehorse because there are plenty of Diamond in the Rough OTTBs floating all over Ocala. I believe that's true. I've actually bought a racehorse from Ocala before when I lived in Georgia. It was much easier.
The amount of racetracks that you pass just going down the road is unreal. Like just training tracks and training track. And I passed about 20 coming here.
And where Kayla is in Ocala is more like Lexington. It's a little bit more like Lexington. There's some hills. There's actually some small hills, but there's some hills. And it looks, and the farms are a little bit bigger and fancier than on this side where you can head over to the Hunter Jumper to Hits. Yeah. The farms tend to be smaller and they're beautiful. I mean, they're pretty, but they're more old fashioned rustic. Whereas you're on the more Lexington
grandier
side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Number three is Hit the Beach. Now, what they're talking about is apparently there's a nightclub called The Beach. And on Sunday nights,
are you allowed to go there, Kayla?
I am.
Are you?
I have been there, actually.
Does the boyfriend know about the beach?
Yes, he knows about. Well, he knew I went out. And there was some Magic Mike stuff going on at the beach the other night on Saturday. The security guards were doing some Magic Mike lap dances to these girls. It was interesting. That's when it was time to go.
Yeah, the hot tip from the Ocala Insider said, by the way, the beach also has a stripper pole. Yep. And they put it on the dance floor. And the Insider says, I've seen more eventers dancing on a pole than I ever thought.
Do you remember when we had Emily on at the very beginning, when Emily Thompson would come on and talk to us about that place in Wellington where she would count the cars in the morning when she went by to see how many people didn't make it home?
Yeah.
Well, that's the beach here. That's our version. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. The last thing to do is to take a farm tour because, like you were saying, there's so many beautiful places. There's more than 600 thoroughbred farms alone spread out over 70,000
acres. It doesn't seem
that
way. Because they're spread out, I guess, so far.
Yeah. They're also an oddly large population of gypsy vanners.
Yes, we do have a lot of gypsy vanners
here.
Yep, we have one of the biggest guys who has gypsy vanners. We've had him on the show before. And it's not too far from us, is it, Jennifer? His gypsy. We've never gotten there, but I do want to get over there to see it. We do have a lot of gypsies, and we also have a lot of Pasifinos.
It is pretty funny, though, that gypsy vanners are very popular in Florida.
In Florida.
And here in Arizona. And
where it's
like
hot
the hottest places ever. And they don't shave their hair. Oh, dear God, if you pull up piece of hair off that horse, they freak out. Crazy. That just doesn't make sense. So those are the four things. Glenn, I believe you guys have done most all of those, right? Have you been to the beach?
We have not been to the beach. No, I have not been to the beach.
You're going to have to go.
I've been to the beach, Daytona Beach, but I've not been to the beach.
So. For shame. You get out there and
I've been to the real beach, not the pseudo beach.
The problem is they have a DJ and they don't play Eagles.
That's true. No, there's probably no Eagles being played at the beach.
No, that was the funny thing is I live with two Australian girls and one just got here like not even two weeks ago. And she was like, where are we? Like, this is a bar, like right on the side of a highway and there's a pole and what is America all about?
Like, you're here.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Welcome to America. All right. Well, let's get back to Rue. When you were on the show the last time, mm-hmm. you talked about going horse shopping in Ireland.
Ireland and England. Yep.
And then you ended up buying a horse. And tell us about Rue, because that's the one you ended up with. Is Rue here with you now?
Yep. Okay. Rue came down. I brought four horses down, and Rue is one of them. And he's been a challenge. He's fantastic. The horse is probably the sweetest horse I've ever owned. And he wants to please and he's super talented. But he actually ended up having a condition called PSSM type 2, which is a condition where they tie up in tiny bits and you regulate it with diet. So it's a low starch, no sugar diet.
Sounds like mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, some of the Australian girls.
No gluten, no sugar. Yep, there you go.
Glenn has PSSM type 1.
I do.
So, but we've got it under control and we're ready to rock and roll this year. And
so, what level will you be at this year coming up?
He's done a two novices, and he's going to move up to training. And actually, it kind of looks like we might be heading towards show jumping as a career for him. But I'm going to play both fields a little bit and just see where we end up. But the horse has springs for legs, and he's pretty incredible. And so.
Jamie's wishing Thor would have springs for legs, right? I mean.
Listen, did you see Thor's most recent video? He actually jumped a grid without crashing through any of them. Amazing.
He's learning. He's learning. Maybe he has that disease too.
Yeah.
he still thinks it's easier to either go around them or through them. So he's figuring it out.
Well, he spent his life going around or through, you know? Uh-huh. So, you know,
it's
this
instinct.
Is, right. We don't go over. That takes too long. We just
there's a Canadian song called I'm a Lumberjack and I'm Okay. I feel like maybe he should play it.
Make it an I'm a Mustang and I'm Okay version. That's funny.
No.
So now, who do you have eventing this year that we can look out for?
I have a
at
horse.
Rolex.
At Rolex. maybe give me like 2 more years.
Okay. All
right. But I have a really neat little gray horse named Admiralty. His barn name's Ripley, and he's 15-1 and some change. So we tell him he's 15-2, though he thinks he's 18 hands. So it doesn't really matter. But he's going to come out and do a couple trainings, move up to prelim. I want to do a 1-star this spring and hopefully do Fairhill 2-star in the fall. That's my goal, but you know, goals always end up changing because horses have a different agenda than we do sometimes, but
that's the truth.
But that's kind of my goal with him. Do a 1-star by the fall with Rue, and his competition name is Selkuth's Mystery, since it took us so long to figure out what was going on with him. And then I have a neat little off-the-track thoroughbred that's for sale if anybody's looking. He's great. And then I have a horse that's rehabbing, so you won't see him out for a little while.
Well, we're glad that you stopped over, and we're glad that you're here in Ocala. You have to go to Mojo's, by the way. Have you hit Mojo's
yet? I've heard about it.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, you got to go there. I went to Pie. It's a pizza place.
I haven't tried that yet.
You would love it. Like I guess they have live music every Friday and Saturday night.
The Eagles? Is that why you're saying that?
Well, I think they do have like, things like that. But it's
music.
It's actual music. It's not like the beach.
Okay.
yeah. Not quite like
apparently
that.
Jamie knows that music too.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Thank you
so much for stopping by.
It's great.
We appreciate it.
I love it. I'm definitely coming back.
We'll take you out to meet Scooter after the show.
Awesome.
Say hi. If you can't get out of here without meeting Scooter,
no.
he would be pissed.
Yes.
So we'll definitely do that. Well, we have a couple of news stories here this morning, and we also have an interview that Jennifer did with another one of our listeners. It is the Year of the Listener. If you missed the first episode of Stable Scoop this year, you missed our Rhonda, our legacy listener, so head on over and take a listen to that. We have another listener coming up this week and will every week this year, so it's kind of fun that we are getting the listeners so involved in all the shows this year. And Kayla, you've been listening for a long time, haven't you?
I have. My stepmom put us on to the show like 4 years ago.
Four years ago, yeah.
I think.
And, you know, you brought up this morning, and I wanted to just mention this to everybody. We're trying to get the live player onto the app. That wasn't possible before, but we think it's possible now.
Ooh.
So I reached out to our app guy, and Mixler has upgraded their software, our live feed. So we think that it might happen. So we're hoping that we'll be able to get the live feed onto the app. We're working on that. And Jamie, what's going on in the news?
Well, Glenn, this is not in America, thank God. But this is in the Gloucestershire. I'm sorry.
Gloucestershire.
It's like Worcestershire, only with a glaw.
Oh, that's a good to know. So there's an airport there.
You've been there, Kayla?
Yeah, I lived in England I pronounced it like she did the first time. It was like Gloucestershire, and they're like, "Oh my gosh, you're so American."
Yeah, I've been accused. So there's a little airport there. It might be where you flew in and out of. And yesterday they had to stop all flights. Everybody that's coming in for landing, you're gonna have to circle. Everybody that's gonna take off, you're gonna have to wait. There was a Shetland pony that was seen galloping down the runway, loose. by himself. Never a good sign. So police received a phone call about a loose pony about 1:20 in the afternoon. It was seen running down the runway. Airport staff, like, everybody, swarm, swarm, swarm. Well, you know what happens when you try to swarm on a loose horse, much less a loose Shetland pony. That sucker took off. They chased it around at the airport for nearly an hour trying to catch it. And then finally, it just got out. It got out somehow. And what they're freaking out about is that airport staff is working to determine how the pony entered and exited the airport, as the perimeter fencing is supposed to be secure. There's supposed to be a fence all the way around it, so nobody knows how the heck this pony got in. And it's a very tall fence, and this is a Shetland pony. So there's your next adventure, Kayla.
I've got to go back to England.
That's it.
You got to go back. So once it got
You're
out,
about pony like, size too, Kayla. So it would be perfect.
Ponies.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah,
she's jockey size. Yeah,
she's tiny. So, but the problem then was that once it got out of the airport, then everybody was worried it was going to get hit by a car or like run in front of endangered motorists. So they had to continue to capture it, continue to try. It was finally safely returned to its home around 2:30. So about an hour and a half after they had spotted it, they finally got it home. It had apparently escaped from a property that's a few hundred meters from the airport. So I wonder if there's fines involved. You know, like, they kind of shut down an airport.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't know. And they couldn't find the hole. Of course, Shetland ponies can get through most anything or over anything.
They're ninjas.
They've
been looking, so they still can't find it. But good luck.
we'll stay in Europe for a second. You know how people whine and complain about horse racing here in America? There's all the horse racing haters. Well, then they would really, really, really hate the White Turf 2016 event that's coming up in St. Moritz, Switzerland. And by the way, doesn't St. Moritz, Switzerland sound like the most beautiful place in the world? It really does. Just the name. It sounds like the most beautiful place in the world. Well, the White Turf has been going on since 1907, and it's Switzerland's top tourist attraction every year. Roughly 35,000 spectators are expected to come out in February for the White Turf 2016. And what is that? It is the $500,000 horse racing on ice. That's right. They take them out and they race them on ice. So it's ski joring, basically. They are behind the horses on skis and they race them across the ice. And it is an actual race. So they all have their silky jocks or jockey silks on and all that stuff. And that's what they do. Now, I'm assuming some very large cleats are involved. That's what I'm assuming, or there'd be a lot of horses down. But apparently it's a huge spectacle. I would go watch that. I would so go watch that. I think that just sounds thrilling. The pictures are great to look at. But yeah, that's one of their biggest events every year is the White Turf 2016. So the animal haters would hate that one.
Oh, man. No kidding.
It looks like a lot of fun, actually.
I don't even understand like how a horse would race on ice. And at what point are you worried about the ice breaking?
What stud would they have for that, Kayla?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even think they make those for event horse. Like, we don't do ice, so.
That's why they're in Ocala.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The ice pick size. You know, they just have ice picks on their feet.
And if you're interested in that, listen to the driving show this week. It's going to come out today because we did alternate methods of driving. We had a ski joring guy who uses dogs. The dogs actually pull the skiers. So that's ski joring with dogs. And he actually was represented the United States team in Switzerland in an international competition. Who knew? And then we also had a lady who drives cashmere goats. So, it was a wild week over in the driving show this week. You'll have to take a listen to that.
That's bizarre. Well, hey, I can't talk about racehorses and we can't do it without mentioning, you know, my favorite racehorse, one of them of all time, and that's Zenyatta. Zenyatta, you know, she had her first baby, Cosmic One, and he went out and had his first race. It's a learning experience. He raced against, in his defense, against a bunch of, every other horse in the race had raced before. So this was his first race, and kind of to give them the feel of what's going on. Well, he didn't figure it out, and he came in totally dead last. So they raced him again. And they're like really thinking he's going to do better because it's his second race. Well, he did better. He came in second to dead last. So Cosmic One, bless his little heart, is still in training with the sheriffs. He's 4 years old now, and they are, let's just say that there's no scheduled start for him anytime soon.
Did you put in to get him out for an event or later?
Yeah, he's in my virtual stable.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like he wants to be an event horse.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have a barn with a few stalls open.
I think so. I mean, Bernardini has got to be known for event horses, right? That's his sire. So then we've got the next one, her next baby, this beautiful chestnut. His name is Zyconic. And Zyconic is now coming 3 years old. And he has not raced yet. But, you know, the Moss and John Sheriff's the trainer, you know, Zenyatta didn't race till she was almost four. So they kind of take their time. Well, he's kind of looking good. He's looking so good that they're thinking they are definitely going to race him by the end of February. Of course, definitely is always whatever, but he is actually looking good. He's turning heads. The clockers at Santa Anita are like, this horse is nothing like Cosmic One. And apparently everybody is saying that the Tappet, you know, because Tappet's his daddy. His workouts are zippy and they look really good, and we're going to see him hopefully race by the end of February. Yay!
Well, that just goes to show you that breeding's not everything, is it? You still have to have heart, you know?
Yeah. Well, you just would think with Bernardini and Zenyatta, like, that heart would take up the entire inside of him, but it apparently doesn't. But maybe Zyconic's going to be the one.
Even in people, some people are born with small hearts. So
can you imagine the stir if they could manage to get somebody to take Zenyatta's son turned event horse in the retired racehorse makeover?
Oh, sign
would that
me
not
up.
Be?
Oh,
awesome?
There, Kayla's in.
you probably have to fight Philip Dutton for that one. Wow. Okay, baby's up.
All right, we got to talk a little bit about Back on Track products. Do you use Back on Track products, Kayla?
I do, actually. I use a bunch of their
products. Really? Tell us about it.
Well, I use their back pad for one of my horses who has kissing spine.
Wait a minute. What's kissing spine?
It's where the vertebra touch in the spine. It can happen anywhere from the withers all the way back to the SI joints, and they communicate, which causes pain. And so I use the back pad actually to relax the muscles around the back, and I'll put it on and just go for like a 40-minute hack, and it kind of loosens up the muscles around the back and makes it loose. I've also used their pillow wraps. You know, you have like, they whack their leg, they pop a splint, and the next day you wrap it with that and it's down to like the size of a pea. They're amazing. It's an amazing product. And you think, you're like, oh, this is so silly. It's just like, but you put it on and it's amazing. I don't know. It's some voodoo magic, but it's some good stuff. And they made a believer out of me. And
do you use any of the human products?
I have a t-shirt. I sleep in it. And usually I notice a difference actually when I don't sleep in it. Because I wake up feeling refreshed, and when I don't, you know, I wake up, I'm a little stiff. It's interesting. It's like the technology behind it, because you're just like, oh, it's just a t-shirt. You put it on, you don't feel anything.
Doesn't feel like you're wearing a plate,
no.
Like a ceramic plate.
No, it's just a t-shirt. It's pretty incredible. So.
Well, there you go. I don't know that we can say anything more than that, other than Kayla is just giving a ringing endorsement there for Back on Track products.
And I'm not sponsored. So
you're not sponsored by Back on Track? There you go. So. Bo from Back on Track. Kayla needs a sponsor.
Yep.
And she gives good commercials. So there you go. Back on Track products. If you haven't tried them yet, head over to backontrackproducts.com. Well, Jennifer managed to get an interview with another one of our listeners, continuing the Year of the Listener here on the Horse Radio Network, and that was Robin Kane. Tell us about that, and we'll play that, Jennifer.
Well, Robin made the mistake of posting on a Facebook page that she had gone to her very first horse show ever. She took up riding She rode a lot, but never showed. And very recently, as an adult, she decided she'd take her horse to a horse show. And I was very curious about her adventure getting there and what made her decide to do it and how it went. So we had a little chat.
Very good. And before we get to Robin, I just want to apologize to all the auditors who are posting the pictures of their snowy places up north after our little discussion earlier in the show. So it looks pretty, guys. Looks very pretty with all your snow.
They're definitely telling us to suck it, aren't they?
Yeah. Divorce tip daily. A listener highlight today. Robin Kane is with me. And I roped Robin into coming onto Horse Tip Daily because a little bit ago, she made the mistake of posting on, I don't remember if it was on my Facebook page or the Horses in the Morning Facebook page, that she had just gone to her very first horse show ever as an adult. And I thought I'd get Robin's point of view on showing as an adult and for the first time, because I'm sure there are lots and lots of other folks who are in the same spot you are or just about to get into the same spot you are, Robin. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
So tell us about you and your horse. What is his name?
Fez is my horse, and he's a 13-year-old Mustang that I adopted as a 10-year-old through a rescue. He had been in and out of some other homes. I could find out just a very little bit through the BLM about his past. And the rescue that had him, I think they got him from a slaughter sale. And they'd had him about a year. And he'd been under saddle in the past, but they had just put him under saddle again for about a month before I picked him up. And he's a lovely little guy.
So he had quite the history before he came to you.
He did. And I don't know too much of it. I know he was missing a huge chunk of one of his feet. Something sliced off probably about 25% of one of his hind feet. But that's slowly growing back in and doesn't seem to slow him down at all. He's just a little trail horse maniac.
And how long have you had Mr. Mustang?
I've had him for just about 3 years now.
All right. So you have Mr. Mustang, and when you got him, did you get him for the sole purpose of having a pleasure horse, or did you have some kind of a inkling that maybe showing would be in your future at that point?
You know, I had just lost my other horse to a colic very suddenly, and I had an antique horse standing in my pasture who was miserable, and so I needed a new riding horse. I figured probably for trails, and my old guy needed a pasture buddy. So he was just probably going to be my trail horse, just like all my past horses had been.
So you were perfectly happy being the trail gal.
Absolutely.
And then what changed that made you say, horse show, I think I'll try that?
Well, I started taking lessons with an instructor in our area, Susan Tomasini. And she's about an hour and a half away from here, and she comes up to Willits once a week, and we have a group of women that ride with her. And I had seen her competing at the Cowboy Dressage World Gatherings and really liked the way she was with her horses. I watched her students, and I really liked the way she was with her students. And so I just wanted to put some refinement in Fez. He didn't come with too much. And, you know, I could do a good deal on the trails, but it was nice to have somebody kind of push me beyond my regular comfort level. And she sort of encouraged us, several of us that ride with lessons, to come and show at the next Cowboy Dressage show. So I can blame it all on Susan.
There you go. That's always good to have an instructor to blame it on.
Absolutely. So
how long were you taking lessons with Susan before you thought, wow, maybe that's a good idea?
Oh, probably about 6 months before she started convincing me to think about it. And then it was probably another 3 months before we actually went to the show.
Oh, well, heck, that's a pretty good turnaround right there. I know people who've waited years.
Yeah.
So you... Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, one of the things that helped is that I'd been to a couple of the Cowboy Dressage shows and gatherings and just really appreciated the atmosphere and goodwill, the way, you know, people were very supportive of each other and very supportive of the horses. And everybody was, you know, as I went and watched, I thought everybody that I ride with of varying levels could come and compete at this because they've just created an environment to encourage everybody to be comfortable and be happy there.
So what aspect of going to and competing in a horse show gave you the most pause? What gave you sweaty palms or butterflies in your stomach before the fact?
Before the fact, you know, having my horse be a total nerd when it got time, you know, my nerves feeding down to him and just, you know, having something go wrong, you know, getting bucked off in the arena, something goofy like that.
Do we need to insert right here that girl file?
Well, yeah, that would be a concern, being that girl at the show. That certainly would be.
Well, once you got to your first horse show, did it turn out to be a that girl kind of a day, or was it a all stars and glitter kind of a day?
Well, it wasn't all stars and glitter. It was a pretty big deal for him being there with all those shows, trailering a good distance. It was about a 4.5 hour trailer ride, and he does not love the trailer. He doesn't act up. He's just really nervous and tense in there. And then having to be in a stall is really difficult for him. It's just not his style at all. So, that was a little difficult, but I had him out a lot. I did a lot of hand walking before I started riding him. And then I rode him around the grounds the one whole day before I even showed. And you know, so the minis going by and the tarps flapping and the big blue trash cans. Those were all issues. But in the show ring, he really wasn't. I mean, the only real mistakes we had were my mistakes going the wrong way. So yeah, it was total operator error. My horse did a fabulous job. But I wouldn't say it was stars and glitter. You know, it was a little bit of work, but it's kind of what I was looking for, to expose him to all of the things that go with doing that. And we definitely did that.
So how did you prepare yourself mentally? Because it sounds like you put a lot of thought into, once you get to this horse show, these are the things that are likely to be issues for Fez, because you know Fez really well, and you were cognizant of the fact that he had to be happy and comfortable in order to perform well. What about your preparation to do this?
Oh, I just kept telling myself that you're doing this for experience for your horse, and I really wasn't expecting to place, or, you know, I just figured I prepared myself to be happy with getting through my rides, and that was going to be enough.
Now, how many classes did you enter? Now, you went to a Western dressage show, which means you do individual dressage tests.
Right.
And how many different tests did you ride?
I rode three tests.
Wow, that was ambitious.
Yeah, well, I did three tests over 2 days. So, I'm sorry. I rode six tests. I rode two tests a day for 3 days.
Wow. But, now, did you memorize all of the tests?
No, we had somebody read for us.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, memorizing all those tests, that's the ambitious part.
that would have been really intimidating, and it's not my strong suit, but no, that you can have someone come read for you. So I didn't have to worry about memorizing, but even with someone reading for me and reading correctly, I did manage to turn the wrong direction at sea.
It's surprising to me how often that happens when you have a reader.
Yeah, absolutely. I was astounded. And I'm quite sure when I came out of the arena, I was quite sure that she had read it to me the wrong way. And no, in fact, she hadn't. So.
And you know what, though, when you're the person doing the reading, having read a lot of tests for students, it kind of screws up the reader, too, because now what do you do?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Fortunately, at these cowboy dressage gatherings, they are so, you can screw up pretty bad, and the judge just tells you to go back to, you know, the last letter that you were doing things correctly, and you just start over. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you have to leave the arena if you blow it. They just put you back, you know, one more step and off you go again. So that helps. But I read for several people too, and that is almost as intimidating as riding. It really is.
It's a very different skill set, isn't it?
It is. You have to be paying attention, and you're trying to decide if you read a little too fast? Are they going to get lost? And if you wait too long, are they not going to have time to set up? And it was pretty intimidating reading. I think that made me more nervous than actually going and writing, because then you're going to screw up somebody else's class rather than your own.
Now, I have found that reading tests for others gives me additional insight when I ride the same test. I think that's true.
Yeah, because I'm kind of planning in my head where I would want to know that information and how much time I would need to set up for the next move. Yeah I think that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And along those same lines, for somebody else who's out there and has been riding just for the sheer joy of it for a long time and might have an inkling that perhaps they would try the competitive arena, what advice would you give to them? Because obviously it's been a successful and positive experience for you.
Yeah. I would say make sure it's something you really want to be doing, that you really enjoy preparing for, because you need to, you know, spend a lot of time schooling your horse, and that your horse enjoys it. I think that's important too. I think having good, particularly in dressage or cowboy dressage or probably Western dressage, having a good reader and a good team of people to help you is really important. And then just go in as if you're learning something instead of, are you going to win a ribbon?
There you go. Thank you very much for stopping by, Robin. And do you have any more shows planned for this year?
I don't for this year because I've got too many other things going on, but probably next year I'll pick it up again.
Well, be sure to post on the Facebook page so we can keep up with your adventures.
Thank you so very much.
Well, thank you to listener Robin Kane and to Jennifer for doing that. We really appreciate that. And Jamie, you're back.
I am.
From the child. Yes.
Sorry, the husband's out of town again, and it'll be the last time for a while. So,
well, that's okay. You know what? Funny is, I got a comment from I'm trying to remember who it was. It was one of our long like listeners from the beginning, and she made the comment that she said, I'm very impressed with how tolerant you are of Jamie and the child, and wanted to thank you for that, because all of us can relate to what Jamie goes through and how hard it must be for her to do the show, to concentrate on talking, you know, on air to thousands of people, and then dealing with the child all at the same time. So, you know, I said, you know what? I am always impressed that Jamie can do it too. So,
I thank you as well, because there's not many. Like, I used to do traffic from home, and I didn't have a kid, and I lived in Atlanta, and I had a dog in my studio. And Brett, every time somebody would ring the doorbell or come down the driveway or whatever, she would always bark.
Oh, your Basset, your first Basset?
This was my other little one, Brett. The Basset didn't bark much, but she would always alert me, and I would get in so much trouble. You're supposed to be in a helicopter.
Did they have swishing helicopter noises behind you?
Yes. Oh, God, the whole thing. I was talking on a two-way radio. Here's a little behind the scenes. They're not always in a chopper. And,
I could find little helicopter noises if that makes you feel like you're at home. That's funny.
So, and I would go, oh, what's that? Brett the traffic dog? Brett the traffic dog says there's a jam on 85.
That's funny. Hey, I don't know if you guys saw it, but SmartPack does these things where it's the stuff riders say to non-riders, the videos that they do. Have you seen those before?
Those are hilarious.
They are. Well, they just came out with a new one, and Horse Nation posted it. Do you want to hear it?
Absolutely.
All right, let's take a listen.
Yeah, I'm still at the barn. It's probably going to be another couple hours because I'm waiting for the farrier. The blacksmith? The guy who does her feet? Yes, she gets her feet done every 4 weeks.
Oh, you were serious about wanting to ride him?
Hey, Grandma. Yes, I'm still doing that horse thing.
No, this one is a bridle.
This one is a halter.
It wasn't that expensive.
I got that mixed up for
years.
But
this bit is totally different than the other ones I have. Can you hand me the martingale? No. Nope. No, it's like the circle, and it's like the strap.
I still can't get that one right.
Don't worry about it. No.
Nope.
Not really. Sometimes, but not like you're imagining. Well, sort of. No, I didn't know that your boss's daughter rides. No, I've never heard of that barn, but I've never ridden in Wyoming. No, he's actually gray.
I'm going to stop it there because there's something that happened on Monday's show, and I don't know if you got to hear it, but there's something that happened when I kind of referred to two people in Canada actually knowing each other, right? I asked was this Monday's show? One of the shows, I asked, was it a caller or a listener? Was on, and I said, do you know Rhonda? Because they lived in the same general area.
Because all Canadians know each other.
Well, I gotta tell you that you busted my chops about that, and then Rhonda listened to it, and she wrote back, and she said, let me just quote this, because this is important. She said, I don't know Allison, but I guarantee I know someone she knows. It's a small horse world up here, especially when you have been in it for over 30 years. So there.
So she doesn't know her, though, is what you're saying.
Well, it's kind of like the third degree of knowing, you know.
It's Kevin Bacon.
It's Kevin Bacon, yes. We'll continue now. I just had to redeem myself.
Green just means, like, he's still learning. No, he's not going to bite you, probably. Okay, just keep your hand, like, really flat. Okay, just keep the treat in your palm, okay? Because otherwise he might think your fingers are the carrot. Horse poop isn't gross. It's not like dog poop. No, it's not like actual hands. It's just like 4-inch increments. Like,
how many times have we all explained
it's in
hands?
The tack room. Yeah. Just don't walk right behind him, okay? Just don't walk behind him, okay? Just be careful not to go near his bum. Not behind the horse, guys. No, that movie is actually really inaccurate. No. Lame means like sore or unsound, not uncool. No, he's not a stallion. Yes, she's a girl. They're called mares. No, he's not a Mustang. I don't think any of the horses here are. No, it's very different than the Budweiser Clydesdales, actually. No, this one's fine. No, I'm not going to make it to the party. I have a horse show early on Saturday. So you see how, like, when he's going and he's on his left lead, and then he changes and he's on his right lead, like, it's the leg that's in front. She's fine. That was just a sigh. No, it's not my mortgage. It's my board bill. Fox hunting is actually, like, a totally different thing. No, I don't do rodeos, but some people definitely do. No, not like a jockey at all, actually. So dressage is, like, a type of English riding, but there is no Eastern riding. No, he's actually 12. He's just a pony. Baby horses are totally different. Let me show you.
Oh, I gotta bring that up. We hear this. We go out riding or driving. I bring Scooter and Beaker out, and they're, you know, both kind of the same color. So
they're not even close to the same color.
Well, you know, for people who don't know anything, they're the same color.
One's a bay.
Yeah, kind of the same color. They're all kind of brownish red. So we go out riding. Every time we go out, oh, look at the cute baby. And I think Scooter's getting offended now. I really do. He's like, I'm not a baby. I'm 7 years old.
Maybe that's why he acts the way he does.
Even horse people. Oh, he's a baby. But you know what? People slow down for us more than they do when Jennifer's out by herself. You know, they'll slow down because they see the baby.
Well, well, don't do that when I bring bizarre. Him out, though.
What's
for
that?
A grown man to be leading around.
A baby. Yes, like, that's right.
That's why they slow down.
He does not like that. Yeah, I just got to the barn, so I'll be out later. No. Barn. Not bar. 9 a.m. No, smaller does not mean safer. Trust me. Yeah, I can stop by after I ride Playboy.
There you go. The latest version of Smart Pack stuff riders say to non-riders. All true.
I've totally so said true. Some of that.
So true. All of it is very, very true. Well, Victoria.
And the worst is when it's your family members and you're like, seriously, you've known me how long? And you just asked me if I ride Eastern.
And they have no clue. They really don't have any clue. Well, you know, we talked about, remember the woman who stole all the money from the town and then got in big trouble? Do you guys remember that? I'm trying to bring up the story.
What was her name? Yes. Yeah, Corridor's gal, where she like ran the town, and the Western host, Alan, actually knew her, and they all thought she had money. She had the biggest trailer and the nicest coaches, and she went to all the shows with the nicest horses, and it turned out she was like embezzling money from this city because she was like the person in charge of the town.
Yeah, and
finances
I'm trying to bring up the article right now because remember they had an auction before and we went through the auction items and we could not believe what this woman had. I mean, she just had a ton of stuff in this auction. She must have had like 100 Western shirts, the very expensive blingy ones. And it just went on and on and on. And of course, horsetalk.co.nz is not coming up right now. But they're the second auction is now going on. They have already recovered $13 million of stuff from the sales of her farm. Do you realize she had 4 dozen vehicles, trucks, trailers, golf carts, 4 dozen vehicles. Dozens that's, of vehicles.
That's a lot.
And it's not coming up right now, but what's up for auction now, I counted over 200 more shirts. How many shirts do you have in your closet?
I mean, I have a fair bit, but not...
Hundreds? No, like 400?
I think like maybe...
12, yeah, okay, that's not a fair bit. We're talking 400 blingy Western shirts that are going for like $100 a piece. It just is incredible the amount of stuff. Spurs, she had, well, up for auction right now, there are 24 pairs of spurs.
You only have two
good
pairs
Lord.
Yes, all of her belt buckles. By the way, who buys a belt buckle that somebody won at a competition? Are they a collector's item if you didn't win them, and do you even want them if you're not the winner?
No.
I don't get that. I didn't get that whole thing. They're going for hundreds of dollars for these belt buckles that she won at competition. It's just amazing. And they actually went through, this is the first article where they really went through how she stole the money over that number of years. She averaged $2.5 million a year.
How do you miss 200?
Well, what she did years ago, 20 years ago, when she started as the accountant and the controller, is she started this fund that sounded very legitimate. It was the sewer fund for the town. So she started this bank account in the town's name, and it was the sewer fund for sewer repairs. And she, but the town didn't know about this account. Only her and the bank knew about this account. So she would transfer money from that came in from the state for the sewer. She would put like a quarter of the money actually in the town's real sewer account, and the rest of it went in this other sewer account. She at times was transferring $350,000 at a pop to this sewer account. The only reason she got caught is finally one day she went on an extended vacation and they had to get another. She would only ever take 1 week vacation, so they never worried about it, and they just everything would pile up till she got back. She would have her relatives or somebody she knew really well that didn't have any inkling of what was going on pick up the mail and put her mail aside so nobody from the town would open her mail, which was all the bank statements. So nobody ever looked at nobody ever thought to look at the bank statements. This was not a big town either. So she just kept funneling money into this sewer account to the tune of $2.5 million a year.
Well, somebody's got to pay for 48 cars.
And then what happened was she decided to go on an extended vacation. Well, it was like 4 weeks, which was her downfall because they decided, well, we can't just let the accounting go for 4 weeks, and they hired a temp. Well, the temp started looking at the bank statements and was going, something ain't right here. Started digging deeper and deeper and deeper, found this account. And went to the mayor, and the mayor said, I don't know anything about this account. They called the FBI, and then it went from there. That's how she got caught.
That's what 20 happens when you
years,
get greedy.
Yeah, later. Yeah, I'm sure she started out just taking, what, $500 at a time, and then it went to $1,000, and then $350,000. God, the kind of shenanigans she had to go to keep it all straight, to keep it all straight over the
it's
years.
It's just not even, I mean, it's just not worth it to me to, like... I mean, I guess nothing's worth it going to jail. Like, I'm cool with that, like, not ever going to jail. So I wouldn't do something like that. But, like, just the constant stress in your life of getting caught.
Yeah, you would be thinking about that 24 hours a day, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I mean, becomes absolutely. A full-time job.
It was. Spending the money was a full-time job, apparently. Yeah, who has that much time to shop?
Who needs that many vehicles? That's still stuck on the vehicle.
That's 48 vehicles.
Like, she would see, you, like, you guys used to own a tack shop. You
yes.
think the tack shop owners would see her coming in and be like, here, bring it all out.
Yes. I'm sure she had an account and she could buy anything she wanted to. Well, we're finally, this week, I hope and pray, I'm not even going to play her opening music because I really want her to be there and we'll be able to hear her. And that's Victoria from Horse and Country TV.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yay! You know, last week we tried to get her on, and then we had to close the show because Skype just crashed worldwide, and that's why you couldn't get on last week. It was not your fault. It was all of us, and we had to end the show. We had no... Jamie was gone. It was just me sitting here.
I thought I'd maybe... He crashed for the entire Horse Radio Network, and it was all my fault.
But you know, you actually made it crash for the entire world. So,
apologies, world.
Well, hi, Victoria.
Hello. How are things?
Good. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you back again.
Oh, it's always great to be here.
Well, now, what's going on over there in Jolly Old England? By the way, we have a listener and an inventor by the name of Kayla who stopped in this morning and sitting in with us, and she used to live in England for a year.
And then she headed back to where it's warm and doesn't rain all the time.
I would actually live in England if I could.
Oh, there's good eventing in England.
Yes.
Here's what I just heard is, Victoria, can you introduce me to a nice bloke so I can get married and move to England?
I don't know that my boyfriend would appreciate that.
For a second, Jamie, I thought you were talking about yourself.
I'm yeah. stuck. I got a kid. I'm not going anywhere.
Where'd you live in England, Kayla?
The West Midlands. I worked for a sale yard in Cirencester, and then I worked for Ann Taylor in Aston the Walls. They host an event there. Country. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a huge training facility, and it's really popular. And
see, it's just like Canada. Every horse person knows each other.
It is true.
It's a small, small world.
That's right. Well, Victoria, before we get on to talking about stories, tell us, do you get to ride at all your poor pony over the winter over there?
I do. I've ridden twice this week. She's having a day off today, but I did have a frozen arena yesterday, and so I had to do a schooling session, which was 95% walk, which was a bit boring and a bit cold. But I think this winter, this has been the second time the arena has frozen over, so it's okay.
Do you get the snow where you are, or is it just cold and rainy?
We had a lot of snow on Sunday, so beautiful white snow everywhere, and then by Monday it pretty much all disappeared, so didn't last very long.
So it's pretty much bud season all winter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very good. Well, what's going on with Horse and Country TV? What do you want to talk about?
Well, we have published the results of a survey, which we've had up on our site for a couple of years. So we've been taking in respondents. We've ended up with about 1,400 people responding to our survey, which is all about riding on the roads. And it's quite amazing to see how many of us in the UK are having to ride out on busy roads, and how many of us are nervous. And apparently 81% of British people are nervous riding on the roads, and that's mostly down to speeding vehicles or cars passing too closely, or the unpredictability of horses that we never know what's going to upset them and that they might shoot out into traffic. So if you're nervous about... Oh dear, somebody's not feeling very well.
Sorry, it's Lucas.
Oh, bless him. It's quite a worrying thing in Britain. The population's rising, the amount of cars are rising, and the amount of off-road hacking that there is, or trail riding, as you guys might say, is decreasing. So,
well, and the other thing, too, is your roads tend to be narrow.
Yeah. You know, they all kind of were formed hundreds of years ago, so they're not kind of huge, big, sensible roads. They're little winding country roads, and people can use them as kind of racetracks, and it's quite frightening. And I have to say, you know, I have nothing but thoroughbreds, and my current mare is very quiet and well-behaved and brilliant in traffic, but you just never know how they're going to react, and just some cars just do not treat you with any respect.
We actually had a rule when we went hacking on the road at Anne and Nigel's, and you had to go two people abreast so that it would slow cars down.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real debate here, because I ride two abreast, and I think that's the recommended way, and it means cars have to kind of slow down and come round and pass you wide and then cut back.
What do you flip a coin to see who gets in the in the traffic lane to see who's going to get hit first?
I quite often sneak into the midst of the verge because I'm on the thoroughbred. and I keep saying she's a baby. She's just turned 7, so she's not a baby anymore. So I've got to stop doing that. But we do tend to ride two abreast. But people will complain about that as well. And we sometimes have cars that sit behind you for 5, 10, 15 minutes getting angry because they're just too frightened to pull out and go around. So it's a frustrating.
Do they blow their horns or are they respectful enough not to?
Yeah, and you know, I was out hacking, there was 4 of us, so we were in two abreast, and somebody overtook and then took a picture on their phone, and I don't know whether they were going to post it on social media going, look at these idiots on the road taking up all the room, or whether they were like, oh, horses, and just thought they'd take a picture. But I wouldn't advise driving a car overtaking on the wrong side of the road and on quite a busy country road and taking a picture at the same time. It wasn't ideal.
That's the reason we moved to Florida where we did, and is because we're in an equestrian community. There's 17 miles of roads and no traffic and wide berms.
So jealous.
Yeah, and there's wide berms, so you can get off the road. Even with the cart, I can get off the road very easily and wait for the cars to pass. But that's one of the reasons we moved to this community and why we want to stay here is because it is an equestrian community. It's a reason that Wendy lives where she does in Sarasota. I don't know. Do you have much riding over where on your side?
On the road.
You have to go on the road.
We have to go on the road.
Yeah.
Makes me feel at home like I was in England again. though I did almost get hit by a car when I was in England. My horse spooked and jumped in front of the vehicle, and that was quite a interesting experience. And the guys yelling at me, and I was like, I totally jumped out in front of you.
Yeah, intentionally.
I wanted to
end up on your hood. Yeah, 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 exactly. I really wanted to come through your windshield today. Well, let's go on to the next, a different story, rather. And that is a German rising star. Talk to us about whoever that is.
Yeah, as if Germany doesn't have enough good riders.
Yeah, right.
And another one who's just shot into the limelight. He's called, now you have to check my pronunciation here, Nikolaus Krieg or Krieg. And he's only 22 and he was competing at the World Cup qualifying leg over in Leipzig. And he just won. And he just had this attitude of, you have to take risks. It's no risk, it's no fun, he said. And he just went round and did a brilliant double clear to take the win. So I think they've got another huge star in the making, as if they weren't good enough already.
Very good. And then also a foal rescue.
Yeah, and we've had a real spate of welfare cases recently and rescue cases, and I'm glad to say that this one hopefully has been caught in plenty of time. It's a tough winter and there just seems to be more and more abandoned horses. And we've just published another one on the site today, actually, about a foal who was found with terrible injuries to its hind legs. And they've got no idea how the foal got them. And looking at the pictures, which are fairly horrendous, you do have to wonder what on earth it got up to. But this one was a little foal, and thankfully him and his mum have been found in time and is getting veterinary attention. But just tough times for horses at the moment, and there's an awful lot of welfare cases that we're hearing about.
I have noticed that we see the news every day for around the world, and usually it's all the welfare cases here in the United States. But, you know, we have a big country, so you expect a certain amount of that. But I have noticed an uptick in the ones in England. I was going to kind of ask you about that because I didn't know why you were seeing such more and more cases than you have in the past.
I don't understand why they're being dumped. I don't know whether it is the changing of, you know, the hunting community that used to get rid of carcasses or take your horse away, and the expense of having them put to sleep and the carcass removed is now, it's hundreds of pounds. And so some people just don't care. And when something goes wrong or when they've got a sizable vet bill, they just dump the horse on a lane and leave them to die, which is just absolutely horrendous. And there's one county in Kent where apparently the charity, the RSPCA, Royal Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, they've been called out to see 23 abandoned horses in the space of 3 months, which is quite a lot. So There is a spate, and I think a lot of them are from the traveler communities. They tend to sort of have these fairly low value horses, and they're perhaps not willing to. I mean, some of them, I think it's very fair to say, some of them are brilliant horse owners and absolutely love horses, but there is a huge part of that society that just aren't looking after horses, and they're just leaving them to suffer, which is just horrendous.
And then you had a video, and I love these old videos. Kayla, I'm not sure, would have wanted to ride eventing back then, but they posted a video from Burley's Cross Country in 1967. Boy, things were different back then.
They were a bit. Fences were a bit.
You have to watch this, Kayla. It's bizarre.
The lack of body protectors, and it's also terribly casual, but it is really cool. I love these.
Wearing their baseball hats and going over these ditches that are like 12 feet wide. And had a dead run.
I'm a bit ditchy myself as a person, so I don't know that I would, you know.
Oh, you wouldn't like these then. Would you have done it?
Oh, I'm not sure. I mean, I think if you look at the fences now, there's more in 1967, there are more jumps that I might be willing to have a go at. Like there's a drop fence right at the beginning, which I'm fairly sure isn't that different to some of the BE80 fences that I do over here. So yeah, I definitely have a go at some of those, whereas modern day Burley fences, not a chance. I would never ever jump any of them. But I think that was just the nature of the sport that back then you got more casual people who just, oh, I think I'll just do some eventing today, and off they'd go.
And you know what was also interesting when you watch these old videos, this one's from 1967, is the spectators are all in suits and ties.
Yeah,
you know, and dresses. And actually, there were some helmets. I don't know what helmets they were using back then, but
I think cork helmets, which they used in racing as well. So not very,
yeah,
not very.
Yeah, safe, it's not going to protect your noggin very well. But it was interesting to watch it.
And they're having such a nice leisurely canter around the country. There's none of this kind of having your minute markers and your stopwatch and going for it. They're having a nice time. It looks more fun.
And the other thing they were doing was weighing the riders.
Yes, indeed. And I'm not sure why. I don't know whether it was a bit like in racing that you had to have a certain weight and you had to use lead cloths or anything.
Jennifer, do you know anything about that?
Yeah.
There's Jamie. She can do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, the same thing. They actually did that in the U.S. till not too long ago. I think Karen O'Connor was the one who spurred the movement to stop. But every rider had to carry, or every horse had to carry 165 pounds. And this is like, I mean, we're talking, this was changed in the 80s or 90s. So not even that long ago, they would always have to. So these horses would train with these female riders and then have to carry 165 pounds. For the toughest course they've ever done. So they actually got rid of that, not too long ago.
There are a lot of tweed coats. I'm seeing a lot of tweed coats in this video. That's
if
for
you
sure.
You know what else? The stirrups, these people's stirrups. I just want to go, shorten your stirrup.
I know. They were really long, weren't they? Yeah.
It's a bit bizarre. Tweed coats are still very much in fashion over here. If you go to badminton, it is like a sea of tweed.
Yeah, I was going to say, you go to any event over in England, and it's I felt out of place with my black coat when I went there. I was like, I got to update my wardrobe to tweed.
They're probably still wearing some of these same tweed coats, actually.
They probably are.
From 19. I don't think they ever die. No. Tweed doesn't die. No. You know, the chalkboard where they're writing their results, it's probably the same chalkboard, actually, I'm looking here.
Yeah, it probably is.
Well, and then you had one other story, and that was your blog, and we're going to talk about a foal that was not mistreated.
No, so this one is it's actually a foal that belongs to one of our bloggers, and it is just so sweet. She sent us the video yesterday, and it is the foal, her 6-month-old foal, seeing snow for the first time. She's having a great time bouncing around, so it's quite sweet. You should check it out.
Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Victoria. We're glad that Skype worked today and we could actually get you on. It's horseandcountry.tv. And then we have to ask the weekly question. And you can just say no. Well, I don't even need to ask it. Just say no.
I'm not sure Horse and Country is coming to America.
Okay,
yet,
thanks.
But you never know.
And that's how we end every interview for the last 5 years. Thanks, Victoria.
You're welcome.
All right, bye. That's funny. Have you guys ever heard of, and I came across this for the first time today because I had a couple listeners send it to me, horselifestyle.tv?
I feel like I have heard about that, actually.
Jamie, have you ever come across it? Horselifestyle.tv? It seems to be out of England or out of Europe somewhere.
Can we watch it online?
Yeah,
on, like,
we can watch. You can watch some of the shows online. And what was, I thought it was all going to be like, you know, in German or something, but they seem to be in English, and they even have a show. This is for Jamie. They even have a show called Veggie Barbecue, where the guy is cooking nothing but vegetables on barbecue.
That
so,
sounds good to me.
Yeah, and it's in English, you're going to be happy to note. And he's kind of snarky, so I thought you would enjoy that one. They have a show called The Ride. They have a show on raining. They have the coolest horse commercials, They have a couple talk shows, one backstage pass for the horse of the year that was in England. But I had never come across this till one of the listeners pointed out. So I've reached out to him to see if we can get him on the show to talk a little bit about the network.
Uh-oh, Victoria's got competition.
I don't think they're on. I think they're just internet is what I've been able to gather. I don't think that they have a network. You know, they're not on a network anywhere. So, and then the other big story, and for all of you fans of Marco Polo on Netflix, like me, by the way, the second season is going to be coming out in June, I just discovered. So you just hold on, it's coming out. And if you want to try Marco Polo on Netflix, just get through the first two episodes. They're terrible. And then it gets really good. So just get through the first two. But they have built the largest horse statue, equestrian statue in the world. It cost them $4.1 million. And this is to honor Genghis Khan in the Mongol Empire. And it was built in Mongolia. It is absolutely huge. I posted a picture on Facebook today. It is, let me see here, that would be 70 feet tall. They covered it in shining stainless steel, 250 tons of stainless steel. This thing is shiny. I don't know. You know how you get stainless steel, your refrigerator, if it's stainless steel, it gets all the fingerprints, and then you have to get the special stainless steel cleaner to clean it off? What do they do with the statue when it gets like bird poop all over it? I don't know. It's huge. It's going to take cleaners just to clean the bird poop off the statue.
That thing is massive, and it doesn't look at all like any of the Mongol Derby horses.
No, this looks more like Genghis Khan does in the Netflix show, though.
Okay.
It has 46 columns, which symbolize the 36 Khans of the time, from Genghis Khan to Lingden Khan. And actually, the show does not. It's not about Genghis Khan. I think it's about his son or his. I don't know. I get the Khans all mixed up. They were not very nice people on a whole. But yeah, you can actually climb up to the top of it, to the very top of his head, and you can look out over. And of course, it looks like it's in the middle of a valley, so you can see it forever.
Is it in Mongolia?
Yeah, it's
Mongolia
in Mongolia.
Is
yeah,
kind
yeah, it's
of. Nothing.
Yeah, it's in Mongolia. So anyway, that was what was, and I got that from the Siberian Times. So there you go.
It is really amazing.
It is big. I'll give you that. It's huge. Let's see, what else do we have to talk about here? So when do you go to your next show? Let's talk to Kayla a little bit before we wrap up.
Well, I'm gonna before
you're gonna
you
bail
get
out?
To Kayla. Lucas has taken my wallet and is pulling out all my cash. So I'm going to,
time to go
going
spend
shopping?
Some money.
I'm going to go steal my money back before he rips it. So, Kayla, it was lovely talking to you today. Welcome anytime. It's a pleasure. And thanks for joining us.
Well, thank
so,
you for
I'm Glenn,
having me.
Thanks for being the best boss ever.
All right, good. We'll talk to you. We'll be back with the trail riding episode tomorrow. And we'll talk to you on Friday. It's really bad ads day. So we'll see you on Friday. All right.
Bye.
Thanks. So now, where's your next competition?
At least you can't tear a credit card.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
I'm actually not showing while I'm down here.
Oh, really?
Well, not yet. I haven't been told that I'm allowed to show.
Trainer hasn't given permission yet.
No. We're doing a program. And so you start over poles and you kind of refine your technique. And then you build up from there. So I'm still on poles. And there's a lot of math involved, which...
Yeah, count stride thing. It's just, yeah.
And anybody who knows me knows that numbers and I do not get along
whatsoever.
That's
bad for a jumper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you got to remember all the strides in between all of the jumps.
But it's actually, I mean,
remembering the course is hard enough.
Turn left, turn right. Yeah. How many strides? I don't know. No. So, I mean, it's really good. But I hope to be doing, I just want to do some hits shows while I'm down here, actually.
Well, there's a million of them. So,
Yep. And maybe some Longwood shows.
And they have the lower levels over there.
Yep. So do some of that and then just get
So you're not going to be in the $1 million class this year?
Not this year, next year.
All right.
And I'll be the winner.
Okay.
So.
All right. No. We'll look for you.
No.
We'll be there cheering you on.
Yep. Yeah, so, but I'm pretty excited about, you know, just kind of honing in the skills and getting down. And he talks a lot about your care, not care balance. So going
explain
in,
that.
So a lot of riders care too much and they want to be perfect. And there's got to be that balance of not caring and just riding. And
letting instinct play a little bit of part of it.
And so, but you have to have a balance because you also can't.
Don't think too much.
Yeah. But you can't.
You're overthinking it, Kayla.
I know. And that's what he's like. You care too much. You care way too much. And so, but you just have to kind of check that balance as you go. You're like, all right.
All right. Is your house spotless?
No.
No? Okay.
No. And if I said yes, my boyfriend would call in and say, no.
I didn't know if you were one of those that's a little OCD.
My barn is.
Yeah.
And it drives him nuts because the barn is spotless and the house is like a pig pen.
Well, that sounds normal.
But he's at least really good about keeping things clean and staying on top of me of keeping everything clean in the house.
Well, now, we recorded the Horse Husbands episode that we do once a month. It'll be next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, that we'll put it out. And we had some great guests, including, for all of you listeners, the Horsemanship Radio Show, Debbie Lauk's husband, Tom, was on, talking about his career as a professional tennis player and all of that. So, and also what it was like to marry into the Monty Roberts family, which, you know, you're not just marrying a horse girl there. You're marrying a dynasty.
Royalty.
Yeah, exactly. So we talked a lot about that. But one of the topics of conversation that came up was there was a thread on horsehubby.com, which women aren't allowed in, but it's what do you do when your wife disappears for 3 months to Florida and you're stuck at home? And the general consensus was video games, play a lot of video games, try and make sure that there's a horse keeper so you don't have to take care of the barn.
Yep.
So what exactly does your boyfriend do when you desert him for 3 months?
He gets grumpy.
And I give you full, he's probably listening right now. So I give you full permission to be grumpy.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's rough. But luckily, I mean,
does he whine a lot?
No,
of course he doesn't whine a lot. Good answer, Kayla. You should have seen her face. I set you up. Sorry.
No. But I mean, he works a lot. And so he goes to work before it's light out and he gets home when it's dark. So he doesn't do much.
Video games? Any video games?
No, he's not a video game type of person.
Not that she knows about.
Yeah, exactly. Right. but he just kind of, he works overtime so he can save up money so he can come down and visit.
Does he have a hobby?
He fishes.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Well, that's a cheap hobby, relatively. Unless you go deep sea fishing a lot.
No, he likes to go out, and he has a boat. So.
And you guys live where fishing is.
Oh, he has a boat. That changes.
Oh, yeah, the boat changes it all.
Yeah.
They're more expensive than horses.
Yeah.
That's about the only hobby that's more expensive
than horses. Pretty much. He's like, gosh, could we choose one? And I'm like, yeah, the horses.
Do you like fish?
I am starting to like to eat fish. I came from a household where we didn't eat a lot of fish. The smell still kind of gets me. But
yeah, I'm not a fish guy.
But I'm starting to, and but the way he cooks it, I like. And he'll go out and he'll go fishing. But I'm not a fishing person. I can't sit still. It drives me nuts. And it would be one thing if you threw the line out and reeled it back in, got a fish. Yay! All right, let's move on. But the whole sitting and waiting thing, if I'm gonna sit and wait, I'd rather just sunbathe than.
You need to try fly fishing.
Fly fishing
stuff.
Might be good,
where
they're constantly doing. But then she'd get it in her eye, and that'd
Yeah, I'm not the most graceful person. You get caught in my hair.
Does he want you to go fishing, or is that his time away from you?
No, he does.
No, he wants you to go fishing.
Yeah, for some reason he doesn't take a lot of time away from me. I guess because the 3 months.
Because you're so beautiful and charming.
Yeah, I'm sure that's
it. That's what it is.
No, I don't know what it is.
Now, who cooks in the family?
He does.
He does. Yep. I knew that answer before I even asked. Yep. Yeah.
He cooks.
Can you cook anything?
I make a mean mac and cheese from a box.
Jennifer's specialty too. Yeah. She also does meatloaf. She can do meatloaf.
I do a mango quinoa brown chicken thing, the brown sugar chicken thing that.
Have you ever seen Worst Cooks in America?
No.
It sounds like something.
Like something they would bring in when they're trying out. Yeah. You know, they just the name.
No, yeah. it's delicious though.
Okay. We need to give it a clever name.
Yeah, we need a clever name like Kayla's Surprise.
Yeah, Kayla's Surprise. No, and it's the one like fancy quote unquote thing that I can actually make. But other than that, I make a good bowl of cereal. And
does he like to cook?
He does.
Yeah.
Yep. And, you know, like,
how do you girls find the only men in America that like to cook end up marrying horse women?
We have a radar, actually. Yep. Like, boop, boop. Him. Him right there. Go.
You have an aura.
Yeah. No. But his kitchen is actually like my barn. You know, my barn is immaculate. I have everything where I need it to be. Don't touch it. When you fold blankets, it's folded a certain way, put away a certain way. And then I go into the kitchen and it drives him nuts because I'll like put something back. And he's like, that's not where it goes. And we actually don't cook together because he's like, that's not how you do that. And I'm like, well, it's how I do it.
Yeah, we have that problem too.
It's how I do it.
We don't get it well long. No, yeah, 30 years and we still don't do well in the kitchen together.
So I let him be in the kitchen and I'm in the barn and I try to help out sometimes, but he'll say, no, she does not try to help out at all.
Well, it's been so good having you. Do you guys have a website?
I do. It's Selcouth, which is Selcouth, sporthorses.com. Facebook page too, Selcouth Sport Horses, and Instagram. Selcouth.
And in case you don't remember how to spell that, Jennifer will post it on her Facebook page and put it in the show notes too.
Interesting old English term.
Well, thank you so much for stopping over to see us today. We really appreciate it. It's been fun.
This is awesome. This is
been fun.
This is unreal.
Well, and you know, the offer is open. Jennifer would love to take you to the Greenway anytime. She knows her way around over there. She doesn't get lost as much as she used to because you can get lost and it goes for like 100 miles. So when you're lost, you're lost.
You're lost.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you do have to do it while you're down here. Wouldn't you say, Jennifer, it's a must do because it is like being in a prehistoric world.
Oh, well, yeah. It's definitely otherworldly.
The
yeah.
birds down here make the most insane noises. We have a pond on the property. And I feel like I'm in Jurassic Park and I don't even see the birds half the time. And it's like you wake up and you open the door and you're like, hold on, wait a minute. Pterodactyl? No. All right.
Oh, do you have the ones that sound like monkeys pulling their fingernails
yes.
out?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, those are owls.
Screech owls. Yeah.
And then like, what are those big gray birds? The really tall, they kind of look like herons, but they're not.
The crane. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And those make some insane noises.
Oh, really?
And,
and the other thing we have, we call the cowbirds, the white ones that follow the horses around. We call them the cowbirds because you always see them with cows.
Yeah.
They have a name. I don't remember what they are.
Yeah. But are they the egrets? Or is that
no. What are they called, Jennifer? Do you remember the cowbirds?
Mm-hmm. I'll think of it after the show.
You'll see them. It is so funny because they tend to pick an animal and then they'll come back day after day and it'll be the same bird with the same animal.
That's funny.
I don't know why that is, but maybe that animal's rustling up some good bugs. I don't know.
Now, I haven't seen any crocodiles or alligators since I've been
there. You probably won't see a whole lot. Now, if you go out more to the east of you into the forest and go to the water in there, you'll see it. And you probably have some wild pigs and things that might make their way around over where you are.
I've heard that we have coyotes, but I haven't heard about pigs, so I'll keep my eyes out.
They tend to stay into the forest. The bear tend to stay into the forest, which aren't a whole lot of... That's not a really... The crow fly is not far from where you are.
Well, that was the thing. My friend was like, yeah, you got to watch. Like, there's not a ton of alligators. Or are they alligators? Or
alligators here. Yeah,
alligators. Yep. And like, because she's gone down to Wellington. There's not as many as Wellington, but you got to watch out. Like, they're around water, like little ponds and stuff. And we have a pond on site and my dog loves to go into the water. And I'm like, all right, you gotta reel it in here, buddy.
Well, what did you see the last time you rode with Wendy in Sarasota a couple weeks ago, Jennifer?
My first in the wild sighting of a crocodile while on a ride.
It wasn't a crocodile, it was an alligator. We don't have crocodiles.
We saw alligators and we saw wild piggies.
Yeah, they saw both. That's pretty cool.
Well, it's okay because I'm surrounded by Australians. So if we do see
I'll just because they're all wranglers. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Get them, stick them.
They have crocodiles there and alligators. Exactly. They have both there. Well, thanks again, Kayla. We appreciate it. Tomorrow's going to be our trail riding episode, so tune in then. Jennifer and I are actually splitting for the rest of the day, going meet friends at Disney World today. We're heading down to do that. So we're going to cut out of here and get your really bad ads in. We need some at jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. I don't know how we can beat last week's really bad ads because it was hilarious, but we'll try. So you got you have to step up your game, people. You know, you're not limited to your own specific area. You can look anywhere in the country. It's good. Just change your location, and you're bound to find some, and send them in to jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Thanks a bunch, everybody. Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Kayla.
Thank you.
All right. This is the point where you say... What's Jamie always say?
Spay, neuter, and geld.
There you go. Yay! She remembered.
Those things are white ibis, by the way, those birds.
White ibis. Cowbirds.